This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, January 23rd, chilly Gillette Stadium. But the hot stove action continues yet again, Paul Perillo. What do we bring? Is it player news or coaching news?
I don't know how much news we bring, period, but a little player with Matt Cassel.
Yes.
Because Matt Cassel did speak yesterday.
The franchise, plural, quarterbacks have been speaking the last couple days.
Right, so we do have some player news.
And the guy who reportedly will be coaching at least one of them moving forward, as projected by Patriots Football Weekly over the last month or so.
With one precinct in, we started projecting it, and we were actually
right.
Bill
O'Brien is reportedly going to assume the quarterback coaching duties for the New England Patriots. Been in this organization for two seasons, one as a coaching assistant, last year coaching the wide receivers. Has some experience in the college level, Georgia Tech, Duke, as a coordinator, offensive coordinator, working under the likes of George O'Leary and Chan Gailey and whoever the hell coached Duke for a while down there when he worked there. Do you know?
I don't.
Okay. But as an experienced offensive mind who everyone raves about, I think he's the perfect pipeline coach here because he has that people look at him as a guy who understands offense because he understands defense, is a hard worker, can watch film and see things that not everybody sees. He seems to be right in that Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels type mold, and it sounds like he's going to get the chance to not only coach the quarterbacks, but you know, it could be a situation like Josh McDaniels had where he's a play caller, or has some chance to call plays, and Bill will have an influence on the game plan and the weekly coaching. But how do you think this all plays out, and what do you take of this O'Brien promotion?
Yeah, well, I think it plays out exactly the way we sort of forecasted that it would back at the start of the offseason. And very much in line with what the 2005 situation was with Josh McDaniels. You mapped it all out, Andy. I think that he won't get the job, as you say all the time.
In a titular sense.
But he will be the de facto offensive coordinator. I think that as soon as he proves to Belichick that he's up to speed, he has the whole offseason here to get himself ready and whatnot, I think he's going to show that he will be worthy of calling the plays. We won't know that. Probably won't find that out until after the season is over, the way we did in 2005 with Josh. We thought we knew that he was calling the plays, but we didn't really find that out until the season was over, officially. And I think that's the way it plays out here. I think that he's a guy with a good offensive background, a guy that everybody in his past, and the Herald has had a couple of nice stories about guys that he has coached and worked with at Georgia Tech and at Duke in the last couple of days. And it certainly seems that people are not surprised that he is on the cusp of becoming an offensive coordinator at the NFL level.
That said, do you have some fear of the change, not only at coordinator, but quarterback coaching? And you have a season where whoever's playing quarterback will be dealing with a lot. Whether, if by chance it's Matt Cassel, obviously there'll be an interesting situation there. If it's Tom Brady, he's coming back from a, career-threatening type injury, apparently, with the infection and everything that's gone on this offseason. If by chance it's Kevin O'Connell, you have a first-year starter. So is there some trepidation with, the new quarterback's coach?
I think that there probably needs to be a little bit, at the very least. And we talked about it a little bit on PFW in Progress yesterday. And I do think there's an element, Brady specifically, he's coming off the injury, so he's probably a little unsure of what he can and can't do physically. And now he's got a new offensive coordinator, so he's probably a little unsure of what that guy's going to be able to do mentally. So for Brady specifically, I think there's a lot on the plate there. Now, do I think that's the end of the world? Do I think that means that's the end of Tom Brady's effectiveness? No. I'm just saying that's something to be cognizant of as the training camp comes, as the offseason winds into training camp in the start of 09. That's something to kind of keep an eye on. For Cassel, the physical isn't there. For O'Connell, the physical isn't there, but the mental is there with a new guy and certainly with a lot less experience in O'Connell's case. So definitely all three of those guys are going to be candidates, and we're going to have to see how it all unfolds. It worked great with McDaniels. We'll have to see how it works with O'Brien.
Before we move on to the quarterbacks, because they've both been in the news, one minor coaching thing that's been reported and projected for a while, Dom Capers is officially no longer on the Patriots coaching staff, taking over as defensive coordinator in Green Bay for Mike McCarthy for that defense that was sort of heralded coming into the season and then had a dismal year. Apparently they'll be going to the 3-4, mixing things up, and he'll get his chance to be a coordinator yet again, as he's been a number of times before. So it leaves a little bit of a hole in the back end of the Patriots defense where you don't have a secondary coach at this point, and it obviously leaves a little bit of a hole in just terms of a veteran coach who was part of your staff and giving advice to Dean Pease and Bill Belichick and everyone else involved.
Yeah, and there are some position coaches now that are going to need to be filled. I mean, don't forget wide receivers, too.
Right.
You know, with O'Brien moving to quarterbacks.
And Caserio can't jump there because he's probably jumping into Scott Pioli's role.
Yeah, and I know that Bill has had traditionally small coaching staffs in terms of numbers. But right now they're more than just small. They're understaffed, and he's going to need to figure out some solutions as to how to plug these guys in. Traditionally, he's done that with young guys. So it'd be interesting to see, and you bring up a good point, Andy, with Capers, that experience that he had. Now, I know the secondary wasn't great last year, but maybe he did wonders with what he had. Who knows? You know, time
Imagine
will tell.
That.
But he was a pretty experienced guy, and a young guy who comes in might not be able to do the same. So I think Bill's going to have some decisions to make with his coaching staff, and he's going to need to fill those spots with guys that we do know. Scott O'Brien on special teams. Hopefully, he can get guys of similar kind of pedigree to work with the secondary, to work with the wide receivers, sort of fill in the gaps on this coaching staff.
I'm sure we'll have more announcements moving forward, or as they trickle in, we'll learn names that could be filling out either the top or the bottom of the coaching staff depth chart as they do fill some holes. And I think you're right. It's not like they can do the just promote from within. I think they have some holes they may have to fill from externally. But moving ahead, Tom Brady was on a Canadian sports radio station in Toronto.
590 The Fan.
590 The Fan. I listened to the interview, and I'm not a big fan. NPR radio. But he sort of broke his silence. He talked a little bit at that charity event, but this was his first radio interview set up through a cream he uses. He's a promoter, a spokesman for. Not a lot of the interview had to do with his health. He did talk about that his rehab is, you know, moving along. He definitely did not put an air of negativity on the rehab or a cloud of despair in any way. And he actually put it at Paul, you know, as the famous bumper sticker says. He said it happens in terms of the injury.
It happens.
Except he had a shh at the beginning.
Yeah.
And not a lot came out of the interview other than, you know, as people have taken from it, he's breathing, he sounded happy, and, you know, we'll move forward from
and
there.
I thought it was the one telling thing, and you know, he said, I have some good days and some bad days. And you know,
my grandmother.
We'll find out. You know, so it's not all rosy. Is my my point. You know, there's been some reports that have him ahead of schedule. Well, I don't think you're having a lot of bad days if you're ahead of schedule.
Right.
So, I think there was a lot of kind of athlete speak in there, and he didn't, you know, wisely didn't tip his hand or give too much. But as you said, we hadn't heard from Brady at all. We heard from him.
And another guy we hadn't heard from. And I didn't really expect to hear from Matt Cassel. Won the Vizio Clear something top value performer award. You know that honored
that prestigious
honored.
Award.
Yeah, I mean that goes way back. I think Jim Brown was the first to win it.
It's Heisman Trophy. It's MVP.
And then the Vizio.
And it's the Vizio Top Performer Award. Those are usually
right in that order.
Yeah.
It's usually like you check it off on
your
resume.
That's the pecking order in terms of individual awards.
But he made the rounds with some TV interviews locally and nationally. He did NFL Network and ESPN, did Comcast New England. And, Paul, you have a couple quotes to read from that, which we're going to debate. You know, he was asked about returning to New England to be Tom Brady's backup, and a lot of people have taken that to say he's open to that idea, but you read the quote and then we'll discuss.
Yeah, well, Comcast Sportsnet, Michael Felger, our good friend of the show, friend of PFW in Progress, asked him specifically about being the backup and would he be open to that. And Castle answered, and I'll just read the quote, "If the situation is what it is, then I would accept it and I would continue to do what I have done my entire career, which is work hard, put my best foot forward, and continue to work on the things that I need to and put out my best effort." That's how Cassel answered the question. Some people have sort of interpreted that.
Well, read the headline.
Well, the headline in the Globe is Cassel is willing to play second fiddle. And the Herald had a similar kind of tenor to its little excerpt would have the same quote in it. And I'm not going to blame the headline, but even in the story, it said Castle told Concat Sportsnet that he would be open to returning and playing behind Brady. I don't think the quote necessarily says that that's what he's looking for. I think that basically what he's saying is, if that's what ends up happening and they franchise me and they don't trade me, I'm not going to – I mean, without saying so much, he's saying I'm not going to hold out. I'm not going to cause a big ruckus. I'm not going to be a distraction. I'm going to work hard, do what I always have done, and make the best out of a situation. But I don't think that – saying that he's willing to play second fiddle almost is like it's implying that he's really wanting that or open to that. I don't
like
really
it's,
think
it's
he's
on
open
equal
to
ground
it.
With going to another team and getting his own team.
I think
and it's not. It's clearly not.
What he didn't say is – if that's what it has to be, then I'll do it. But that's to me, Matt Castle, the way his quote is, he might as well have said that's the absolute last resort.
He was being a politician.
He's
he was
what
saying
he was,
what he was supposed to
he
say.
He said
at
exactly
this point.
What he was supposed to say.
I also don't think he would do this, but I also don't even hold him to that. Had he said I won't hold out now, I don't hold him to it because you don't say right now I'm going to hold out.
There's no need to put yourself as a selfish athlete if you don't have to.
Right. So I think a lot could change. I think he's being the smart, intelligent, respectful, professional guy that he is at this point in the process.
Also said the right things on ESPN when he just talked and lauded Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, and that's very smart. You know, it makes sure this is Tom's team. The Patriots have been Tom's team. He's built that franchise up with his own two hands. He's the guy, and he was the MVP. The year before, I realized that he has been such a mentor for me, and I would say, no, there is no quarterback competition here. I think that's very wise. I think that he is obviously very intelligent and well-spoken, and we knew all those things about Castle, but I think he is handling the very early part of his offseason very wisely. He hasn't been in the limelight very much. He came out and did these TV interviews yesterday and said exactly the right things.
As I would expect.
Yeah.
As I also would expect.
It's typical New England behavior, by the way. Typical Patriots behavior.
Patriots announced their 2008 Ed Block Courage Award winner this week, and it goes to Sammy Morris, veteran running back who, great job, jack of all trades, good guy, big fan. I don't have much to say about that, but congrats, Sammy.
Okay. I don't really have much to add to that.
Okay. Well, that's going to put the wraps on another Patriots.com roster report. And as I promise each and every week, at some point, we will talk about player transactions.
We got three players involved today.
We did. It's on the horizon. It's coming. The last week of February, February 27th, will be the beginning of trading period and free agency. Before then, February 5th, you start the window when teams can franchise a player. So we are inching ever closer past the Super Bowl and to the true offseason for the entire NFL. Until then, for Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.